Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Monday morning. It is very nice to have you with us. It's the 21st of July, and thank you very much for tuning in. Let me introduce our panelists to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Boy, we had fun out there, and didn't we?
Yes, out there in Amherst, Massachusetts, the Yiddish Book Center and Yidstock. And Libby Post came out with us, and she had so much fun. She stayed all weekend and listened to great music.
Yeah, I went back on Saturday and went to the Klezmatics concert, which was raucous and great. It was just a lot of fun. People were literally dancing in the aisles. So
that's
it was
the way
great.
It should be.
Yes, it was great.
Very cool. So we thank all of them, and especially Aaron Lansky for being such
yes.
a great
host.
They showed us a good time.
A great
he
host
did.
And hostess.
I thanked him again Saturday night.
Good.
Thanks to all of them. It's good to be back. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Newsman Ray Graff is here. Ray, we'll bring you on the road someday.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really holding my breath a bit. It's
he
fine,
doesn't
really.
Have his passport, so it's a little hard to go out of state.
We'll bring you someday.
Yeah, he doesn't, you know. I got to hold the fort. Someone's got to be here.
That's true. That's true.
And we met with a lot of people out there in Amherst.
Yeah.
And we had a great little party on Thursday night, right?
Yeah. Thursday night at the Eric Carle Museum.
And a lot of people came out at the Eric Carle Museum, and it was wonderful.
Good.
And everybody, there were several people who asked for you, Ray.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, the great thing about Ray is, as we always hear from people, he keeps it real.
He stays home at night.
I don't know what that means. Keeps it real.
My kids turn into gremlins after sundown, so I have to be home to mind them.
Don't want to get water on them.
That's right. Exactly. That's just right. Like the movie. Yeah.
Political consultant Libby Post. So welcome all. Thank you very much for tuning in. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We touched on this on Friday in the broadcast in our abbreviated panel discussion and talked a little bit about the Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 that crashed in the Ukraine and the downing of that flight. And there is a lot that has happened over the weekend. Bodies from Malaysia Airlines Flight are stuck in the Ukraine, held hostage over distrust. Which is a fairly troubling story. The government in Kiev has accused the Russian-backed rebels who control the area of blocking access to the bodies in the crash site and delaying what is already a very painful process for the families of the dead. So there's that issue. Then there's the overall international issue of what happened, how did it happen, and we can get in a few moments into John Kerry's statements over the weekend. But Alan, where do you think we stand on this?
Well, I think that the one thing that people, even some people who tend to be more sympathetic than maybe they ought to be to Putin, have arrived at the decision that nothing that he says means anything. In fact, you could almost inevitably take what he says and reverse it, and then you'd have the truth. So he says, Putin says, we need a robust investigation, and pretty well everybody knows the reason we're not getting a robust investigation is because of Putin. That's what we have. We have I said on the air earlier this morning that anybody who has ever been in a plane at 31,000 feet knows why this is such a dangerous situation. These dead people, terrible. It's awful. But it also means that this could be the equivalent of drive-by shootings now. That
in the air, right.
People who have this kind of equipment, probably given to them by the Russians, although we can't be absolutely sure, probably did this. Where else are they going to get it?
Right. Where
they're
else are they?
They're going to make it?
Right. That's the thing. Where else are they going to get these kinds of weapons?
Yeah.
Only from a country who has these weapons to begin with. And he's behind these rebels. And I have no doubt that there is complicity between the Ukrainian rebels, or whatever they're calling themselves these days, and the Russian government.
Yeah, well, I agree with you.
Well, here's the thing about those Buk anti-aircraft missiles, BUK, I think you pronounce it Buk. So as I follow the news on this, it takes about 6 months of training to be able to run this thing. So either, assuming it was the pro-Russian separatists who did this. So either they were taken to Russia and trained for 6 months, or Russian advisors were on the ground, in which case Putin is even more culpable. So we shall see.
Very well put, Ray. I have nothing to contest with you about it, which is too bad.
Well, the week is young.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just this abject disregard for human life that pains all of us who think and feel. And I think that there's this growing sense out there. You know, you see it in some of the radical Islamic sects, you see it here as an example, that human life is no longer sacred or valued. And let's just, you know, shoot these people out of the air for whatever reason, we don't really know. But there were 80 children on this plane. Yeah. There were infants.
AIDS researchers who
there
have
were
been
AIDS. Changed. The AIDS yeah. research is going to be set back for, I don't know if decades, but it's going to get set back. This one guy was a leading researcher. It's just this disregard for life that I just don't get.
So Secretary of State John Kerry has said that Russia has funneled large quantities of heavy weapons to Ukrainian separatists and trained them how to operate SA-11 anti-aircraft missiles, the type of system that is believed to have been used to shoot down the Malaysian airliner over eastern Ukraine. We know for certain that the separatists have a proficiency that they've gained by training from Russians on how to use these sophisticated SA-11 systems. Mr. Kerry speaking on State of the Union. He appeared on 5 network news programs mm-hmm. on Sunday, laying out a litany of findings that he said pointed to Russian involvement in support of the separatists who most likely shot down the airliner on Thursday, killing all 298 on board. I think there's something can be said that the Secretary of State is speaking on all 5 news shows to get the word
and
out.
And not only on all 5 news shows, but also off all 5 news shows, he got taped sort of talking about, you know, we've got to get out. And do something here. Yeah.
So what is that something, do you think?
Well, we already have, I think, Lindsey Graham talking about we need to do more. We need to arm the Ukrainians. We need to get involved. We need to send weapons. And, you know, we're not willing to do that. I think we need the all diplomatic avenues to be dealt with. And now we have a larger group of nations who are willing to get involved in this because now they have been personally touched. You know, you have the Netherlands. I mean, when you have the...
That military powerhouse.
Right. But I mean, you have these countries. You have Britain. You have France saying it's time.
Even Germany.
You know, Angela Merkel.
Russians for all of that stuff.
Right. They're saying we have to do something. They're, you know, sanctions... Nobody wants to start World War III here because that would be the end of civilization as we know it, given the players.
You know, I'm very interested in the Merkel-Putin relationship. Let's remember that, boy, am I going to get it for this.
Here we go.
But let's remember that Merkel was East German, raised in that culture. And while I'm not making any accusations, I am saying it is interesting that these two have developed this kind of mm-hmm. political relationship, which does not exist in other places, which, by the way, may be why the Americans were tapping Merkel's phone.
to find out what the
level of that mm-hmm. of that was.
But I mean, this is based.
I haven't read that anywhere. Have you?
No.
No. That's a new. It's a scoop. But yeah. I mean, this is based on post-communistic, capitalist, market-based factors here between Russia and Germany.
Maybe, but maybe. But remember that Putin, the KGB colonel. There's an old saying, once a KGB colonel, always a KGB colonel. And we know that his view of post-Russia, we've seen this in other societies, after somebody gets into a humiliating defeat, let's say the Germans after the First World War, there is an attempt to, you know, reassert yourself because people are so ashamed of that. So if you assume, Ray, as you've just stated, that there was this communism and now there's this Putinism, for want of a better word, and that they are separate and distinct, you'd be right. But if
it's authoritarianism, what it is.
But if it turns out that maybe there isn't the kind of separation you may think, that'd be a different story.
I would posit that Putin, if he has illusions of reconstructing the Soviet Union. He does not have illusions of reconstructing communism.
No, nobody believes it. No. And by the way, I don't know that they ever really had communism.
No, they didn't.
They had bread lines, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that they had communism. They had...
Nobody can have communism. I mean, I hate to say this. It's a lovely theory, but in reality, it doesn't work because you're dealing with people's individual greed and desire for power. And, everyone shares equally. You know, Marx and Engels, everybody shares equally. There's the proletariat's in charge. Well, you know, we saw in Russia, it didn't work. I don't even know if they ever went as far as to say they were pure communists or not. But
the state owned the property.
The state owned everything.
Russia said they
were right.
Communists, yeah.
You know, in Cuba, it's not really working all that well. You know, and look at Venezuela. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted to go down that road, and it's not working all that well. It's authoritarianism is what it is, and that's the key. That's the thread that runs between Merkel and Putin. Mm-hmm. And it's the sense of one person making all the decisions. We know what's right. He wants to reunite the motherland. That's what it's all about.
Seems
for him.
To me you're right. That's what I was ineffectively trying to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Entirely too much agreement on this program.
All right. Well,
let's argue.
Let's take a break and we'll work on our argument.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll read some mail.
We'll get you work. Do you have some?
Well, there's one person who wrote in and said very nicely to Ray, because remember I talked about keeping it real?
Yes.
And then this was said, Jason said, Ray always keeps it real, and that's why I listen. Thank you for the stimulating discussion of current issues. And that's Jason.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Now we really have to take a break.
All right, now we really will take a break, and we'll be back after this.
Support comes from Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, a jewelry emporium providing traditional and non-traditional engagement, wedding, and anniversary rings for conventional and same-sex couples. UnusualWeddingRings.com. Scenic Hudson, helping to create parks, preserve working farms, and advocate for communities along the Hudson River through its Saving the Land That Matters Most campaign. ScenicHudson.org. Saratoga County Fair, starting tomorrow through July 27th. 30 acres of entertainment, competitions, exhibits, and grandstand attractions. A summer tradition for over 170 years. SaratogaCountyFair.org. And Cucina Woodstock, Market Street, Rhinebeck, and Gusto, Poughkeepsie. Three Hudson Valley restaurants specializing in contemporary Italian farm-to-table ingredients, seasonal drinks, and wine selections. Facebook for details.
Welcome back. Hi.
The mic's on. Stop swearing.
Didn't realize
we're
that.
On,
I wasn't swearing.
Okay.
I was just
call
saying.
Him Kerry.
Yeah, right. John Kerry, the mic is on.
I just realized that Alan said we have letters, and I started to look for them, and I realized that for whatever reason my system isn't retrieving them.
Oh,
this happens around here.
Okay.
Okay.
But Alan's got them, and that's what counts. So let's go to your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, and we got letters like this.
Yes. No matter what the outcome of the investigation, Putin will be untouched, except for some embarrassment. Only the leaders of third world countries are ever held accountable for their actions, says Jim. And Julius says, Western intelligence is rumored to have satellite photos of the exhaust plume of the missile shot. Why haven't they been released?
You know why?
Why?
Because we don't want them to know that we know.
That they know that
we
know.
This is
that
all,
they
it's
know.
The intelligence game. Right. If you don't have to tell them that you know, you don't tell them.
Yeah. Okay. And then somebody left a dish in the, left a dish in the sink, unwashed here at WAMC. So because of the new technology, I always send out a picture to the entire staff.
Oh, and you did this?
No.
Anybody recognize this dish? And I then washed it, of course.
Oh, good for
of
you.
Of course.
I proudly.
You are a man of the people.
Do not recognize that dish. I don't believe I've ever seen that dish. I did not have relations with that dish.
some,
all right, you know. Okay,
some,
that's it.
What some, is with that dish?
Some dish.
Right.
That's
right. Okay, let's go on. Is there anything else?
Does anybody, are we done on Russia? Anybody want to talk about this?
So, yes.
What?
No, I think we're done.
Okay, good. Like all together or no, just on this subject?
Right,
okay.
Right. We're done.
So, do we want to talk about, so the
I
story,
think Putin, by the way, Joe, just to interrupt for a second, yes. I think Putin may have been talking about Israel.
Kerry.
I mean, yes.
He was.
At that point, yes. Should I correct myself before the hordes descended upon me?
Right.
So, Dutch forensics.
It's H-O-R-D.
As opposed to the,
Central Avenue.
Oh, Alan. All right, moving on.
Alan.
Dutch forensics experts finally gained access on Monday of the remains of the victims from the downed Malaysia Airlines jet in eastern Ukraine after days of standoff over access to the site and growing pressure on Vladimir Putin of Russia to clear the way for a full international investigation. European leaders threatened new sanctions on Russia as soon as Tuesday, suggesting they were increasingly open to the harder line being taken against Moscow by the United States, which has accused Russia of providing the service-to-air missile system that brought down the jetliner. So let us, just in the minute or two that we have left, talk about what impact you think this downing of the airliner will have on us building some sort of coalition as we move ahead in our own fight with Russia.
Well, I think Joe, it's good for Putin. In other words, in terms of his solidifying his relationship with his constituency, let's put it that way. I hate to use the word electorate, but constituency, because you know there's a certain nationalistic pride that he's putting up there.
Are there any independent type polls that you can cite? I don't know if they do that there and if it means anything, but I wonder how he is doing with the people.
Well, they do take them. I know they take them, and I think, I'm not sure whether it's Gallup, somebody's over there doing this stuff.
As far as, I'll see what I can find during the break. We're going to take a break. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Libby Post, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok are here. We welcome your input as well, roundtable@wamc.org.
You say Joe or Libby or Ray. I know. Okay. I don't care what you say.
What?
I think
what,
Rich,
honey?
Guthrie is right. I don't think cats killing our songbirds is a good thing, and I think we have to do something about that. So you cat lovers and you people who own cats, either put a bell on them or make sure that for some reason we do something about this terrible scourge. We have
what
a cat who comes onto our neighborhood and onto our land.
I'm sorry. What's the issue?
The issue is whether cats should be allowed to be unfettered and just kill our birds.
Well, they should. That shouldn't be a thing, right?
Alan is going off a little bit because we talked about
trap
meter,
I don't care,
and release
what you people
of feral
say.
Cats.
And Rich Guthrie has a simple solution.
I don't know who that is, but
he's our bird man.
I don't know Rich Guthrie's solution is, and I don't know he has a
the
simple
fact
solution.
Of the matter
well, he doesn't
is,
like these cats doing
it's
this.
Just killing feral cats does not get rid of the feral cat colonies. Mm-hmm. You have to trap them, neuter them, re-release them, and after 5 to 10 years, the colonies will disappear. We've seen it. It's scientific evidence. We see it over and over again. If you just kill the cats, it's a vacuum that will be filled by other cats.
Okay, so you two agree on this issue then?
Well, no, he thinks we should just kill them. And I
didn't say that.
No, I thought he said the opposite of that.
No, I didn't say that either.
Yeah, right.
I just said
you didn't say anything.
I said
something needs
to
be done.
I mean, we got this cat. He's giant. It looks like a mountain lion. He slinks onto our land, and we have wonderful birds. We have cardinals, and we have all kinds of things, and they disappear. And I don't like it. And I think most people who listen to this show will agree with me.
Okay, so are we...
We're talking about something that we were supposed to talk about.
Do we want to... are we continuing in this, or are we...
I don't
no,
care.
Let's
it's
go
your
back
show.
To...
No,
yeah,
oh, it's
back.
Yours.
Yeah.
I think I lost that.
Yeah, I think so.
About 40 minutes ago
at the time. Yeah.
10 years ago. Yes.
All right. Does anybody else want to...
No.
Okay. Nobody else wants to weigh in on that.
No, but if anybody wants to talk to me about this, they can offline.
Okay.
All right.
Or they can call. They can write a letter about it.
Write you a letter.
Because I know Putin is one thing, you know,
and feral cats are another.
Yeah.
That's right, because one's closer to home. And our birds are our friends. They're our neighbors.
I get that. And our cats are our friends, too.
Absolutely.
And
nature is nature to some extent, right?
Our dogs are good.
Yes. So our cats are good, too.
Our dogs don't kill our birds.
It's because they're too lazy.
Let's just move on. It's because, right, they've been totally domesticated. But let's talk about
Let's talk about James Gardner. I was going to talk about
the bubble.
Yeah, right now it seems like I'm talking about anything, right? and it would be welcome.
Michael Cole wrote in, said, "Well, I'm inclined to follow the conventional wisdom regarding Russian involvement in Flight 17 catastrophe. I can't dismiss the powerful Russian black market and the possibility that Putin may not have full control of his own military or ex-military." I would disagree with that.
Yeah, he's got control.
I would disagree with that. And then Stephen wrote, "Good morning. We're talking in circles. By now, anyone who's had anything to do with this downed aircraft are safely off the northern coast of Siberia under the ice as fish food. Remember who these people are," and that's from Steve. And that seems to be it.
All right, so we will move on and talk about the. There was a very interesting story in the New York Times yesterday. They had an exclusive, and I thought it was fascinating about this bubble for car owners and a subprime bubble for used cars. Borrowers pay sky high rates. And the numbers are fairly damning here. Auto loans to people with tarnished credit have risen more than 130% in the 5 years since the immediate aftermath of the financial crisis that began in 2008, with roughly one in four new auto loans last year going to borrowers considered subprime, people with credit scores at or below 640. This is in the face of the new subprime boom. People are easily obtaining auto loans from used car dealers, including some who fabricate or ignore borrowers' abilities to repay. The loans often come with terms that take advantage of the most desperate, least financially sophisticated customers. The surge in lending and the lack of caution resemble the frenzied subprime mortgage market before its implosion set off the 2008 financial crisis. I think this is interesting on a couple of levels. First of all, one, you know,
the poor get screwed.
The poor get screwed again. And how do you take if what we saw in mortgages, why can't we then learn our lesson from that and on all borrowing and lending have some sort of control on it? The other point is that I think we had someone on the show, and I've been racking my brain trying to remember who said it, that you know, the next crisis was going to be student loans and the borrowing for college. So you look at all of these issues and you think to yourself, you know, okay, well, what did we learn from what happened in 2008?
Well, in order to answer your very good question is the issue of who is too big to fail? Banks are too big to fail. The American capitalism is just too big to fail. When the pressure gets on, as it did with the mortgage thing, and we still really haven't successfully punished those who took advantage of that, we now wait and we let it happen. It's like Little Abner had this thing where you pressed on one thing, or the shmoo, I think it was, and then another part of it would you know, like a balloon, it would pop up, and then another part would pop
up. It's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah. What's that?
Whack-a-mole, yeah. It's a game.
Okay.
But now we're back to the cats.
Gear, and you go back, it comes up there.
Well, but the point really is that we are saying, all right, listen, this is business. As Mike Tyson once said, it's just business. And that's what it is. It's just business, and we do it, and we allow this stuff to go on because that's who we are.
But is there not a lesson to be learned from the mortgage bubble bursting at a personal level? In other words, shouldn't people say, well, I need to not take on more than I can handle? As a level of personal responsibility, should I not look at this from a bigger picture?
Did you read the article?
I did read the article.
I mean, these guys, you know, we've got it going on here with, I'm not going to say who it is, but he's always on TV.
Don't say anything like that.
You know, promising loans, promising everything. You read this article, this one guy who has now gone to jail, I think, you know, does this hard sell. It's a shell game. They tell you one thing, you sign something else. You don't realize what the hell's going on once you sign it, and then you get the bill.
In fact, you know,
and they prey on poor people, just like payday loans, just like any of those other predator type things. They prey on people who don't understand, they're not sophisticated enough, and they don't know how to ask the right questions, and they're desperate for a car.
So you absolve people of all personal responsibility?
I know who I don't absolve of personal responsibility are the people who are perpetrating this fraud on unknowing consumers. You know,
who are desperate to have a car.
Who are desperate to have a car because they need to go to the doctor, they need to take care of their kids, or they need to get a job. They need to get to their job they can put food on the table.
And you even see it in the advertising that Libby is alluding to, where you say, you know, why should you have this car when you can have this car, and we can make that happen for you.
No
Not
problem.
Only that.
Doesn't matter what your credit rating is, I'll give you a loan.
Well, think of the ads on the radio. Where the guy starts to talk, that's so that they can meet their responsibilities.
Right. And the 6-point type on a television ad that you can't read that's on there for 5 seconds. It's the same thing that is 6-point type.
But I take Ray's.
Ray. Just call me Ira.
Yeah, I take Ira's point. You know, he represents a good deal of, I think, what America thinks. You know, let these. Quote people.
No. Don't put words in my mouth.
Well, I'm
just saying that,
if
you make $18,000 a year and you say, I'm going to get a 5 Series BMW, maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe you need a little level of.
These are about old used cars.
Ray, they're not buying those. This is used cars. Yeah. This is horrible.
I agree with both of you that this is reprehensible, but
nobody's buying a new BMW.
Everybody should
here.
Have a little personal responsibility in a free country.
Yes.
I agree
with you. But you know, their personal responsibility here is taking care of their family, and so they do what they think they need to do, and they sign a piece of paper which isn't how it was originally explained to them, and they just don't have enough wherewithal to really know what's going on. You know, so who's responsible? It's the guys who do this. And you would think they would have learned.
Well,
about greed.
That's what I don't get. Why haven't we learned a lesson here?
Right. Why don't we just stop with subprime?
I already explained that. Not well, but I explained it.
It's greed.
It's American.
Well, no, I understand it's greed. But why haven't we take action? We take action...
Go look at who gives the politicians the money.
Okay. Here's an example. We have the tragedy of 9/11.
Yeah.
And we say, okay, we're going to focus every attention that we have on planes. But we're not going to focus the same attention on trains, and we're not going to focus the same on at our ports and our boats. Okay. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is the same thing. You're saying, okay, we're only going to worry now because this happened to mortgages. We're going to make sure that never happens again to mortgages.
Right.
But you don't look at it to other borrowing.
That's why stepping on the bubble. That's what I'm talking about. Stepping on the balloon and it
right.
comes,
and
out
and it comes
way.
Up someplace else.
That's
if we wanted
Schmoo
to,
reference.
That's right. If we wanted to, only I am old enough to remember that. But if we wanted to, we could. The truth is that the system doesn't want to do that. That would be hampering business.
Right. It's true. It hampers free enterprise and people's ability to make as much money as they can without any kind of checks and balances. And who ends up getting hurt are poor people.
And that's why the New York Times. That's why the New York Times, Libby and Joe, bringing this up is to be commended.
Yes.
Because part of the authoritative allocation of scarce resources is ink, and when the ink points up the problem, I've been on trains coming up from New York to Albany, where I've seen a legislator rip something out of the paper and hand it to the assistant and say, "Here, make me a bill on this." You know, I mean, truly, that's the way it gets done.
Work on this.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation here on our roundtable panel for this Monday morning. We welcome your response as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations. Serving Western Massachusetts, KentHicksConstruction.com. The McHayden Theater, Chatham, New York, professional musical theater presenting Mel Brooks' comedy Young Frankenstein with Puttin' on the Ritz, Hiva's My Boyfriend, and Transylvania Mania, July 24th through August 3rd. McHaydenTheater.org for showtimes and tickets. NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. And the Olana Partnership, presenting an opening reception for Preserving Creative Spaces, Photographs from the Historic Artists' Homes and Studios program, Saturday, August 3rd, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., Olana.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Monday morning. We just have a few minutes left. Time to get into the letters and tackle one more subject before we go for this morning. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok.
Okay. Well, there was a very complimentary letter to Libby from Doreen, who said, killing feral cats is not the answer. Trap, neuter, release is, thanks to Libby for advocating for cats, and trap, neuter, and release program. And that, I believe, is that.
Okay. Excellent. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, as noted. Let's go on to another topic. Sad news over the weekend. James Garner died.
Meant a lot to me.
50s Westerns and whatnot.
I think my lifelong Sunday night guilt is brought on by the fact that when we came home from our, you know, weekend on Fire Island, whatever, and the Chartok twins had a choice. Either watch Maverick or do your homework. And I inevitably chose Maverick.
And a great radio career was born.
I inevitably chose Maverick.
Oh,
and then to this day, Sunday night brings terror into my heart.
Well, you see, I grew up on Rockford Files. I'm a little too young
for
Maverick, but it's Victor Victoria.
Which is what?
The movie, Victoria, that he was in.
He was in it.
And it was one of my favorite movies. And he really
Edwards.
Huh? Blake Edwards, Julie Andrews. You know, Alex Karras. I mean, it was a great storyline for the 80s around gender and sexuality and not being homophobic and being accepting. And I think it helped a little bit with moving things forward. And, you know, and I also loved Murphy's Romance. I mean,
did you like The Americanization of Emily, which he thought was his best film?
I never saw that.
It was a wonderful
was
film.
It?
And I think, the authority on it. Julie Andrews in that.
Julie Andrews, yeah.
Yes, you know.
And I also have to say that I thought, because Rockford Files was such a great show.
Yeah, it really was.
And I never understood why this great detective who solved all these crimes would be living in a trailer. I never got that part of it.
Everybody has their...
It was the 70s.
I didn't like that part of it.
Yeah, well, you know,
John Norman, right? No, that was... I'm thinking of Magnum. No, never mind, a different show.
Right.
And then the other thing...
Angie Dickinson, I don't know who was in
the show. But remember the ads he was in, too, the Polaroid with Hartley? What was her name?
Marianne Hartley. Yes.
Those were great ads.
Well, I don't remember those.
No, I do remember those.
Thank you, Libby.
And the other person who died last week was Elaine Stritch.
Oh, yeah.
Elaine Stritch passed away on Thursday at the age of, I believe...
89 or 90.
They were both about the same age. Garner was 86.
86.
That's a great run.
Women usually live a lot longer than men.
Well, Elaine Stritch was performing not that long ago. She was still going strong. And
she lived in the Carlisle. Now that really was something.
Yeah. And she would perform, in the perform in the Carlisle. Right. And she was
wonders whether that was a sort of a, what do they call that when you trade?
They call it a trade.
Yeah. No, there's another word for it. Yeah. So yeah. Whatever. But yes, she was there. Yeah.
So we felt bad about that. Alan, I've seen some new letters come in. So if you
Really? Oh, I'm glad you're watching this kind of thing, Joe. Okay, so now going all the way to the top. Okay, Liam said, "You bemoan, you bemoan the disregard for human life when it supports your status quo belief systems and political views. But none of you mention the blatant, intentional slaughter of innocents in the Israeli military in the ghetto encampment of Gaza. Universally condemns war crimes by the UN. It is despairing with such parochial views, you control so much of the public awareness of our region, and silence is complicity. I must speak up." And guess what, Liam? We read your letter. So, Nora says, "In response to the question of why we do not have regulations on car loans, such as we get on the mortgage after the mortgage crisis, I am reading Elizabeth Warren's book. She worked on those regs, and the proposed regs included car loans until the industry weighed in heavily and Congress caved under pressure." And that's from Nora. And then Ryan says, "Good morning. I understand that we all feel that it is wrong for banks to give out bad loans, but the only maxim in free market economics is profit. So given the rules, they are right in the prospective sense. Keep up the good work." From Ryan. And Michael says, "Who's responsible? Ray's right. How about a little personal responsibility in owning a car? Is owning a car a God-given right? Find a job close to home. Take the bus," says Michael. And Julia says, "The Russian surface-to air BUK system was first introduced in the late 1970s and has undergone numerous revisions and upgrades since then. It was deployed in a number of Soviet bloc countries, including Ukraine, with training supplied by the Russian military. While it is pretty clear that the BUK missile shot down Malaysian airliner, it is not clear to the world. Where are the satellite photos? The Russian separatist fired it. If we have the evidence, let's show it. Don't forget the Reagan area Vincennes incident or Johnson and the Gulf of Tonkin." Okay.
Well, speaking of Tonkin,
Tonko is
right behind you.
In the other studio. He's waiting for you.
The congressman is waiting for you.
Congressional corner.
So we will we'll wrap up and let you get to the congressman.
I just want to say one thing. As we speak, the president is about to sign two historic executive orders that would ban federal contractors from discriminating against LGBT people in the workplace. And this is a very important step forward for us, and we think the building's falling.
Yeah,
down,
that's all right.
Quite sure.
You know what? The building's had a good run as well. Like James Garner.
Okay.
I think somebody just threw a plate in the sink.
Right. Yeah.
But I just wanted to let everyone know that this is incredibly important, and it will have reverberations across business as well as in government.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Libby Post, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, thank you very, very much for being with us, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Put a bell on that cat.
Thank you very much.